than he ever would or could have been if he possessed all the power in Canaan on his own, simply because he had the protection and the guidance of the hand of God. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? You ever thought about that? When I was a boy, I remember my grandpa sitting me on his lap, and I mean young, and telling me, at the end of life, most of the time, you can count on one hand the true friends and the people that have stood by you when everybody else failed. I have lived for a while. I'm right in between. They say when you're young, you think you know it all. When you're old, you think you know. I'm right in the middle of all of it. I'm too young to be smart, and I'm not old enough to be, I'm not that bright, you know. But there's some things I've figured out. There are people, and sad to say, family, that have failed and hurt, let down, that I put my trust in, that I thought they were going to be my shield and my reward and my blessing and my helper. But I've lived long enough now that I've realized, only God, only God, if you'll just give it to Jesus, he will see you through. He is the ultimate shield. He is the ultimate reward. Hallelujah. Who do you trust? Are you shielded like Abraham is? Do you have that relationship with God? You know, it's easy to pray when something happens. God, I lost my son. God, I had a flat. God, I don't have money for the bills. But what about when everything is on easy street and you've got it made and you don't want for nothing? What's your relationship like then? We've all been there. We've all lived through good times and bad times, every one of us. When I look back over my short life again, preaching to myself tonight, I realize that there are times when I had my hope and my expectancy in the wrong places. But if I just give it to Jesus and let him become my shield, let him become my defense. A shield is a defensive. It can be an offensive weapon too, but primarily it's a defensive weapon. Let him defend me. Let him protect me. Let him guide me like he did for Abraham. So my question is God your shield? Oh, I know you come to church, you're faithful, I get that, but is God your shield? Is he God of everything in your life? Do you trust him completely? Many men and women trust other things. They're good, faithful Christians. They come to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having total trust and reliance on God. Not because you're in trouble, but because you choose to let him be your shield. Think about that. Some people trust the government, praying for you. Some people trust their investments. Some people trust their friends, their family, their wealth, their jobs. But all of these things will eventually disappoint and let you down. If you want a real shield, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Look at the things God promises to shield the one who trusts in him from. God promises to shield the believer from his enemies. David knew this truth. David lived this truth. He had many enemies. He put a nation together, and no one can do that without making enemies. That was another hard lesson I had to learn. You can't please everybody. You can try, but at some point you just got to say, hey, this is the direction I'm going. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live for God. I choose to better my family and my circumstances and my life. And when you get in right relationship right here, everybody around you will get in right relationship or they'll get gone because they don't want to be around the presence of God. So I challenge you, get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the power of God, the anointing of God. Get in the Spirit. And let everybody else around you either get in the Spirit or get gone. It'll be okay. God will replace them with somebody better. Doesn't mean you are mean or rude. Have good Christian character. But take a stand for God. Amen. David was threatened by the nations that surrounded Israel. Old friends of the former king didn't like him. Troublemakers within his own government didn't like him. They were against him. Even his own family presented obstacles and rebels who were enemies. And yet, David knew the protective power of God. He wrote in 2 Samuel 22, in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock." Hallelujah. Is the Lord your rock tonight? The Lord is my rock. Yes, He is. And my fortress. And my deliverer. The God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield. He is my shield. There it is again. He is my shield. The horn of my salvation. My high tower and my refuge. My Savior. Yes, He is. The God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield. Somebody needs to make the Lord your shield tonight. You've had it for a little while and then you let it go. You pick it up for a little while and then you set it back down. It's time to get a hold of the Word of God and the things of God and hide them in your heart like never before. And live them like never before. And begin to speak them like never before. You know the spoken word. I'm working on a message. I don't want to ruin it because I want to use it. But the spoken word, Matt, what you say and comes out of your mouth, you are putting into action things that you are going to live. You are opening the door to things that you are going to experience by that right there, the tongue. The power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. My dad used to tell me in sales, it's not how good you look or how well off you are. It's the power of the tongue. Anybody can sell anything if you just open that mouth and use that tongue. It's true. It's very true. It matters what you say. It matters if God is your shield or not. He is my refuge and my Savior. God will be your shield against enemies. You may say, "Oh, well, Brother Chris, I don't have enemies." Stop fooling yourself. Stop lying to yourself. There are people that don't like you being a Christian, period. You know, someone in here might not have an enemy. That's probably true. But if you're waiting for a dynamic witness for Jesus, and if you're being a dynamic witness for Jesus, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. For the gospel hardens some hearts, and the gospel melts others. And even Jesus had enemies. So if you don't have enemies, I'm glad for you, but God will still be your shield against them when they come. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, God is my shield. God is my shield. The second thing that God shields us from is Satan. The Bible tells us that our adversary, the devil, hello, we all have enemies, the devil, like a roaring lion, it says, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Like a roaring lion. But it also speaks of deliverance when it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The truth of these verses is illustrated by the story of Job. Job was a righteous man who was severely attacked by Satan. He lost his sons. He lost his daughters. He lost his flocks. He lost his camels, yet he did not yield to Satan. Even his wife said, curse God and die. I mean, think about that. That's your confidant. That's the person you talk to. That's the person you trust everything with, or you should. Anyway, she's saying, curse God and die. He's like, oh, no, no. The main point of the story is this, is God had placed a hedge around Job, a hedge of blessing, a hedge of protection. And there was nothing that Satan could do to Job until God permitted the hedge to be lowered just a little bit in order to demonstrate Job's character. And God did this only with the full knowledge that Job would triumph and that all Job lost would be restored. Can I tell you, if you're going through something, maybe God is allowing you to go through that little something to better you for the future. Maybe you don't understand it now. Maybe your family don't understand it now. But to God be the glory. Hold on to God. Hold on to God, whether He's allowing it or not. Hold on to God. Let God be your shield. And no matter what happens, hold on to God. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. God will do that for you. He will be your shield. God will not only be your shield against your enemies, but also against Satan, the greatest enemy of all. There is nothing that Satan will ever be able to do to you that will not, first of all, come from the will of God. Did you hear that? There is nothing that Satan will be able to do to you that will not, first of all, come from the will of God. God orders the steps of a righteous man. God has you in His hands. God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll stick by you closer than a brother. He'll be a friend when there is no other friend. He'll be a will in the middle of the will. Come on, somebody, hear what I'm telling you tonight. God has you in His hands. It's time for you to start trusting Him and allowing Him to be your shield, to be your provider, to be your uplifter, to be your help. Hallelujah. God is your shield against temptation. Anybody ever been tempted? Everybody in the room has been tempted. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I love that. God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This verse says two things, that no temptation is ever going to come into your life that is too strong for you. God promises that you will only experience temptations that you are able to overcome if you depend on Him. You've got to depend on Him. To everything, there is a process. You've got to get in line with proper process with the Word and the things of God. It's when you get out of line with the things of God that trouble begins to come. We've all been tempted by things. We've all had to say no to some things. There are, I dare say, things that you're doing right now, maybe I'm doing right now, that we need to say no to. We need to deal, be honest with yourself. God knows. God knows right where you're at. He knows what you're being tempted by. And when you think nobody else is looking, he's watching. He's listening. And you can bear it. You can make it. You can make it. Hear me. You can make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can make it. You can make it. Hallelujah. God is going to help you to overcome it. The second thing Paul is saying about temptation in this scripture is that God always makes a way of escape, that we are able to bear it. Thank you, Jesus. You know, If you read the Bible and you understand, and you begin to see the tell, the generations from Adam's seed and Jesus. Jesus robed himself, God robed himself in flesh. Why? To make a way of escape for us. So there is a hope of glory. There is more than this, just this few short years that we have. There is a way of escape. And I want to go to heaven more than anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Finally, God is our shield against bitterness. In Philippians 1 and 12, Paul wrote that the suffering he endured actually served to advance the gospel. So could I encourage you tonight? Would that be all right? Maybe stuff you've had to live through is just nothing more but to advance the gospel. Maybe something you've gone through will be that little something that lost soul that comes in and sits on the pew beside you or across the way from you, or that soul that you meet in the community and they're hurting and broken, and you can say, wait just a minute, I've lived through this situation before. You can make it. Look at where God has done for me. There is more. Let's go a little bit further. Let's experience Him. Let God reveal Himself to you more. Philippians 1 and 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Instead of getting bitter, instead of getting frustrated and upset, and you know, bitterness is like a cancer. It will begin to eat on you, and you can get so mad about a situation that you can allow it to run absolutely everything around you. Every relationship, every bit of communication and good standing you have with anybody and everybody, because you get so mad and so focused on this one little issue, and it will consume you, and it will eventually kill you if you're not careful. It'll kill your spirit, it'll kill your witness, it'll kill your relationship. Yes, it will. But instead of getting bitter about the things that had happened to Paul, Paul realized that God was using those trials to spread the gospel further and to advance the kingdom. That it would have been maybe a little harder for Paul to do if he hadn't have been arrested or he hadn't have been tried or gone through the stuff he has. You know, it amazed me to read, yet for these light afflictions, you begin to read about all the stuff beaten and shipwrecked and put in prison and naked and hungry, bitten by a snake. I don't like snakes. Don't want to get bit by one. But all this stuff he went through, yet for these light afflictions, he says. Can I tell you, this is just a brief moment of the being that you are. There is more to it than these 100 or so years that you might have. Make it count. Make it count. Don't get bitter. If you've got something in your heart that's been eating at you, been holding you back, maybe you're frustrated, maybe somebody's offended you and didn't even know it, go to them and say, hey, what did you mean by that? Did I offend you? I'm sorry. Brother and Sister Cooley, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you at Hackett's. I didn't. I'm just using this as an illustration. I left there and I was neck deep in my big old thing of shrimp fettuccine. Shh, don't tell Brother Baggett I'm on diet. But it was good. Oh, I did. It's on recording. Lord, help me. They have a steak and gravy there that'll make you just, it's good. But if you've hurt somebody, you know, it was an honor to see them there because, hey, that's my friends. Hi, good to see you. Glad you know about this place too. There was right relationship. But maybe if somebody's gotten out of line with you, maybe they've hurt you. You know, it's good to tell somebody every once in a while, hey, I appreciate you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Our pastor needs to hear us say that. I'm proud of it. Man, you're doing a good job. Thank you. Don't let bitterness, don't let anger, don't let frustration distract you from the things of God and the things that we can do for God. Allow God to become your shield in everything. In the same way that God was his shield, Paul's shield, against bitterness, he can be your shield against the troubles and the trials that come. Don't get bitter. Get better. Don't get bitter. Get better. Get over it. Life's too short. I was thinking the other day, and she's not down here, so she can't kill me, but I was thinking the other day of something I said. I thought, you know, it's really not worth it. Talking about my wife and I, and I don't want to drink Coke anymore. Well, it's hard for me if she orders a Coke, and I'm sitting there because I have a problem. I like Coke. I like Dr. Pepper. But I thought the other day, you know what? It doesn't do me any good to say anything. I just need to do it for myself. Nothing to do with her, but for me. Get up for yourself. Live for God for yourself. Apply the things of God and the principles of God that's in this Bible for yourself. Because I can promise you, you will stand. You will stand. There will be a multitude there, but you will stand before God in judgment. And he will judge you by yourself. And you will be accountable. You will be accountable. And you can't, mama, daddy, could you answer? No, you're going to have to give a reckoning and an account. I want everything to be under the blood of Jesus and washed away. He gave you a way of escape. He gave you an opportunity. All you got to do is live for him. Serve him. Get bitterness, get hate, get anger, get temptation out of your heart and life. Repent of your sins and make God the main thing of your life. When troubles come your way, when trials come your way, don't get bitter. Just look for the shield of God. The things that he will protect you from. And he will give you the strength to bear whatever it is. Whatever it is, you can make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can make it. You can make it. And after these things, God will reassure you, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Stand to your feet all over the building. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We love you. We thank you for tonight. Lord, we ask that you would be the shield of our life. We ask, oh God, that you would touch our hearts. I'm asking you right now, Lord, to cover every family here. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would go out before us with a hedge of protection and guidance and wisdom and understanding. Lord, you said in James to pray for wisdom and understanding. We're asking right now, God, that you would be our shield, that you would be our foundation in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for attending tonight. Glad you were here.